pick up your new school gear from George at Asda, including two-pack polos from just £2.50. Available at George, in-store, online and on the app, exclusively at Asda. Selected Asda stores, subject to availability. Delivery charges may apply.
Show, we discuss who will win the Premier League rights in the next TV deal, the risks and rewards of streaming, latest news about the MLS TV rights deal, and your feedback in the listener mailbag segment. I'm Christopher Harris, aka The Gaffer, joined alongside my co-host Kartik Krishnayar and special guest Carl Fansler. Carl, we had you on the show a couple of weeks ago. For listeners, Kyle is one of our newest members of the team. He's our junior content editor. So if you've been going to worldsoccertalk.com the last couple of weeks, you'll see a lot more original content, some great articles by Kyle, as well as you can definitely see his influence on a whole range of articles. And we have a bunch more coming basically almost daily. But Kyle, for listeners who may not have seen your Twitter videos on Fridays, where you're giving kind of a preview, like a video preview of some of the games to look out for, tell us a little bit about yourself and some of the teams or your favorite team.
Yep. Hello, all. I'm Kyle. I'm from Florida. I went to the University of Florida, just graduated in the spring of 2021. I got my degree there in telecommunication, specialized in news, and soccer has really just been the sport that I followed my whole life. I started playing it when I was 4 or 5 years old, started following it when I was around 9 or 10, and it was really around that time that I developed a passion towards Barcelona, or for better or for worse, I should add. Back then, I actually played at a tournament that was co-hosted by them, or at least sponsored by them, and from that point on, I got to follow Messi and Barcelona, those great teams of 2009, 2011, 2015, and they're really the team that I support. But if I were to say if there was a league that I watch, it's obviously going to be the Premier League, just the ease of watching it in the States, and then just how intense the league is, how balanced it is. You don't know who's going to win the league every year, even though there are a handful of favorites. But I'm really glad to be on World Soccer Talk. I really appreciate Chris giving me the opportunity for that, and to be able to come on the podcast. It's just it's great to be able to talk and write and learn more about soccer, because you know I thought I knew so much about it, but then it turns out that there's just so much more in depth, whether that be on the broadcasting side or what you see on the field. There's always more to learn, I say.
Yeah, well, we're definitely glad to have you as the latest member of the World Soccer Talk team. In a little bit, we'll get to more the in-depth discussion about TV rights. And there is so much to get to as far as the Premier League, Major League Soccer, U.S. Women's National Team, U.S. Men's National Team. We'll get to that in a little bit. But first of all, I mean, it was a busy weekend of football last weekend, soccer, as well as a busy midweek. And some of the games midweek in the Champions League, it was interesting because you look at the scorelines and you look at Manchester City 6, RB Leipzig 3, you look at Milan, which looked like it initially it could be an upset there, but Liverpool storm back and win that one 3-2. And I think pretty much the only result you can probably look at and go, okay, well, Manchester United slipped up there, definitely, probably substituting Ronaldo a little bit too early and being a little bit overconfident in that match. But you had Chelsea, pretty comfortable winners against Zenit St. Petersburg. But one of the things we were discussing earlier this week, Kyle, you and I were, about just the dominance of the Premier League, not just in the United States in terms of, you mean, the most watched league on U.S. television, but also in Europe. And, I mean, it's early days, right? It's only the first game week of the Champions League, but Do you think we can see again kind of a domination by the Premier League teams in the Champions League this season? Or do you think this is a little bit more competitive with a PSG?
I think it's funny. Soccer, at least in the Champions League, seems to flow in some kind of cycle. Like there was that time 10 years ago where Manchester United was in three finals in 4 years. Chelsea won the Champions League final. And now we're starting to see that again. There was a span where for a long time, I would say about 6 or 7 years, there were no English teams in the Champions League final. And last season, we see two English teams Champions League final. So we're starting to see these Premier League teams reassert their dominance in Europe. And I think for a lot of them this season, it's not just a goal to go far in the Champions League. It's to win the Champions League. You got Chelsea. They are obviously the defending Champions League winners, and you could argue they bring back an even better squad than the team that won the trophy last year. Manchester City, they bring back pretty much the same squad as last season, and they reloaded the likes of Jack Grealish. They are expecting to, you know, go far in the Champions League, want to win it. Manchester United, they're in my opinion, one of the best teams in England, despite the recent result against Young Boys. And I really think that they have the firepower. Obviously, Ronaldo has that winning pedigree. And I really think that the English teams are the favorites. Now, obviously, I would say if there was one team that I think is the favorite, it's PSG. I mean, I do think that they're going to win it in the long run. But if I were to say if there were two teams or outside of PSG that were going to go to the Champions League final, I would say it's Chelsea and Manchester United, rematch of the 2008 final, because those teams are so deep and they're so loaded. The competition that they face in England, I think, makes them better in Europe, because each week you have to be good in England just to compete on the league level, just qualify for the Champions League. And so you bring that into what you play against in the Champions League, and your teams are just so good. And, you know, the rosters they have, the star power they have on offense, midfield, defense, and goalie, I think that the English teams are just, I would say that they are back in layman's terms.
Yeah, it's interesting too, but you look at the different leagues in Europe, you look at Ligue 1 in France, and you look at PSG, and it's, I mean, I'm sure week in, week out in the French league, in Ligue 1, it's going to be pretty much a cakewalk. I mean, Lille, I'm sure, will challenge, and Lyon, etc., but it's going to be PSG winning that league. I don't know, I think PSG, especially the balance of having those three attacking forwards, up front, there's going to be a kind of an unbalance when they play in the Champions League, and I can't see Pochettino, benching, either Messi, Neymar, or Mbappe. So that's, I'm sure they'll do well, and it'll be a glamorous team to watch. But I don't think they're going to be any Champions League favorites there. Bayern Munich, always a strong team, and we saw that midweek too, as far as, pretty much easily beating Barcelona. But Bayern usually slips up in the semifinal stages. That's probably the best bet in Germany. And then you look at the rest of the leagues, and you look at, Spain. I mean, Real Madrid is definitely not anything like they were before. Barcelona with their problems. So it keeps on coming back to the Premier League. So, whether it's Manchester City, whether it's Liverpool, whether it's Manchester United, whether it's Chelsea, I mean, it's going to be really, really difficult, I think, for not to see at least a couple of those teams in the semifinals, if not further. But in the meantime, we're going to segue kind of into talking about the TV rights and everything that's been happening with that. And that's just been a huge story. All right, Kartik, so actually, before we get into the whole TV rights, and there's a lot to get to, but let's first of all look at, this past week in what we've been watching. But I don't want to go into a lot of detail, but was there anything, any kind of main story or something that you gleaned, whether on the field or off the field, from this past week?
Yeah, I guess that I'm watching more Premier League than I have, and I know it makes me sound really like a hypocrite, because for years on this podcast and on Twitter and on other podcasts, I've advocated Americans being more cosmopolitan in their viewing. But the Premier League this season seems more interesting with the outflow of players from the continent, and all the financial restrictions so many of the top sides on the continent have. also have to admit, because of that, I'm now watching more South American soccer. Obviously, always watched, kept an eye on Copa Libertadores, but checked out some Brazilian Serie A action on Sunday. Liked what I saw, and probably going to keep an eye on that league.
So,
viewing habits are changing partly because of
South American football. Is that to kind of look at the pipeline of what's coming through for the Premier League, or was it just of other interest?
Both, yeah. Because so for those who don't know, because of Brexit, the work permit rules have changed for entering the United Kingdom for Premier League and Championship clubs to sign players and Scottish clubs as well. So basically, it's going to be easier now for Premier League and Championship clubs to sign guys coming from the Brazilian League and the Argentine League, and harder for them to sign guys who are not full internationals coming from leagues on the continent. Now, I think that that's going to have a huge impact long term on what the league looks like. But yeah, so that's part of my thinking, is that I need to, if I'm going to follow the Premier League as closely as I want to, I need to be more up on particularly Brazil and Argentina. Those two leagues look like they're going to be more feeder leagues for the Premier League. We already saw it this summer, right? We're already mm-hmm. and we've seen it in the past. But the work permit rules have changed in the UK, just the quick summary, and it is now much easier to sign South American players who aren't full internationals. They used to have 75% of have played in 75% of their nation's competitive matches, which for Brazil and Argentina is impossible, right? It's only the elite of the elite that get that. So now it'll be easier to sign just regular Brazilian and Argentine players, and harder to sign guys who are French or Belgian or whatever.
So this past weekend, the one thing I do want to talk about is streaming. And I teased it in the opening of the show, talking about the risks and rewards of streaming. And there are a lot of rewards. I mean, you can get to watch practically any game from around the world. I can have two games on at once. If you want to, I can have six games on two different screens. The opportunities to watch, the beautiful game more than ever before are at our fingertips. Having said that, between Peacock crashing on Saturday and then ESPN Plus having audio-video sync issues in that first half of the Real Madrid game on Sunday, then you had the midweek Champions League, which I think it was more transmission issues, but you had a few blue screens of death that they were dealing with, and I think we saw that on television just as well as Paramount Plus also. But it hasn't been a greatest week for streaming by any means. And there are a lot of rewards, but there are a lot of risks too, because the whole concept of streaming is still not built out completely. So it's a lot of inconsistencies as far as even when games are available on demand, Peacock versus Paramount Plus versus ESPN Plus. We did a side-by-side comparison recently to compare and grade those, which ones are doing better than others. But yeah, it was not good, Kartik. And especially Saturday, right? Saturday, you had, of course, Cristiano Ronaldo debuting in his game. And that was a game I was interested in. But there was a ton of other games I wanted to watch. And we just kept on getting error messages, trying to watch it. And NBC had to go ahead and just shift all those games that would have normally been on Peacock to the NBC Sports app, which is more stable. And at that point, it's like, okay, why even bother having Peacock streaming these games if you're going to just rely on something that's more stable, NBC Sports app that had no issues? But it wasn't a good start on Saturday. I hope for this weekend, especially Spurs against Chelsea, which is my game of the week to watch on Peacock on Sunday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. But Kartik, this stuff shouldn't be happening now, right, with Peacock?
It shouldn't be happening, but I guess I rewarded them for it by going back and watching every match almost in its entirety, because they did do a good job of getting everything on demand. Well, I mean, I guess the Peacock games are on demand anyway after they finish. It's the matches that are on linear television that there's a lag. But yeah, this should not be happening. I don't know why they're continuing now. What is it? July of 2020 is when they launched. So what are we now? 14 months into this thing to having all of these technical issues. It seems like there's constant technical issues with Peacock, even things as basic as not being able to keep a stream up for an entire match. Oftentimes, and I know you and I have talked offline about this, having to exit out of a match at halftime and re-enter it on the app because there's something clunky going on. There was a match earlier in one of the first 3 weeks of the season that I can't remember which match I was watching on Peacock where the second half it didn't come back. It just kept having that graphic coverage will resume. And then I exited it and came back in and it was like the 49th minute. So clunky things like that happening with Peacock. This having been said, I think NBC and Premier League fans better get used to this for the rest of the season. I think NBC is pushing more and more onto Peacock and will, as the season wears on, because of the imminent closure of NBCSN. And also, I think their desire to actually see if they can maximize new subscriptions and new signups via this app because of the Premier League.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see. I mean, hopefully NBC retains the rights, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But if they don't retain the rights and they find out within the next few weeks that they've lost the rights, do they say, do they pull a, I don't know, Champions League a Bleacher Report and say, okay, in that case, you mean we'll give it the rights back? Obviously not, but do they go ahead and put everything on Peacock for the rest of the season and just just kind of punish us? I don't think so either, but it will be interesting, Kartik, to see. Hopefully Peacock won't have any issues this weekend. But by this point, they should not be surprised in terms of the amount of people hitting the Peacock site, the signups, how many people are watching games. They've got, like you said, a good, like, what, 12 to probably about 14 months of data to be ready to withstand that. What I would say, though, is that from the coverage I did watch, it's good. It's back to a high level on NBC. I think last season, especially with COVID, that had an impact. But you saw a lot more of the two Robbies doing the tactics board. You saw the pitch sides with the NBC crew at Ellen Road before the match. That was really good. And Rebecca looks fitter than ever. So they're definitely giving it a good shot. And also they just announced this week, too, that they're going to be doing another fan festival, this one on the west coast of the United States in October in Los Angeles at the Memorial Coliseum, an outdoor event, which that was the World Cup final, Kartik, right? That one holds, like, what, 80,000, 90,000, 60,000? Maybe it's been a while since I've watched a soccer game at L.A. Memorial Coliseum, but they're going for it. They're definitely putting the best foot forward and hoping that that has an impact on the TV rights. Kartik, what about you? So I mentioned Spurs, Chelsea this weekend, must watch match. What about you?
Everton, Aston Villa, which is the Saturday 12:30 p.m. kickoff. Everton have started the season so well, playing a completely different brand of football under Rafa Benitez than under Carlo Ancelotti. We've seen this before because those two guys seem to always manage the same clubs, right? Real Madrid, Napoli, now Everton, and the football has always been different under Benitez. What Benitez has done is he's brought in Damari Gray and Andros Townsend, two really undervalued wide players. Gray, who largely flopped at Leicester, quite honestly, was on a really good Leicester team. Maybe that was part of it. He couldn't get games when you're competing with the Harvey Barnes, those sorts of players, high-end players, Mark Albrighton, etc. Went to Leverkusen, didn't do very well. Same thing with Townsend, who's faded the last few years at Crystal Palace. That has changed the way they play. They're playing really quick through wide areas, countering brilliantly. They've had, I think, outside of maybe Liverpool, the best looking counterattacks in the league this season. Aston Villa, obviously bad first match against Watford, but since then, in spite of the results, playing some really brilliant football. Badia in the middle for coming over from Norwich. I just think that this is going to be an exciting game, an entertaining game. Maybe it's not the most important match of the weekend, but to me will probably be the most entertaining match for the neutrals.
All right, Kartik, let's move on to TV streaming news. And the first item, it's not the biggest one and not the title of this podcast, but it is an important one. This is a change, Kartik. This is a sea change in the recent rights history of covering the sports in this country, or it could be. It could be. So I'll have you let listeners know what it is.
Yeah, so ESPN and Fox are reportedly not the favorites in bidding on the U.S. women's national team and men's national team rights per Grant Wall's new subscription Substack service, and he tweeted us a teaser on it. Keep in mind, the U.S. Federation rights have been delinked now from the MLS rights. Some no longer marketing the U.S. men's and women's national team media rights. I'm not sure what's happening on the marketing side, so I'm not going to jump and make the assumption that they're out on the marketing side also, but on the media side. So the U.S. Federation is going to be selling these rights as a standalone package. And according to Grant Wall, and quite honestly what you and I both here, Chris, also, ESPN and Fox are not the favorites. There's a lot of interest from the U.S. From the U.S. Federation. There's a lot of confidence in the U.S. Soccer Federation that there are other potential bidders that would be interested, whether it's NBC, whether it's CBS, Amazon Prime, HBO Max, Discovery Plus. I don't know how that'll shake out since they've kind of now been linked together in the spinoff from AT&T. But one of those streaming services, DAZN is always a potential player. We saw DAZN. Should mention, Chris, sorry to interject this. I forgot to mention this at the beginning of the podcast. I watched Women's Champions League on DAZN this past week, and their coverage is really good, the way they present things. So obviously that's a pay service. The Women's Champions League is being offered for free, but the rest of DAZN is a pay service. But they could be a player as well. So really exciting, exciting time, because I think – one thing that may be depressing U.S. men's national team rights in particular, Chris, is on the English language side, the kind of formulaic, as much as we laud ESPN's coverage, I think it's become very routine. The ESPN has been covering the U.S. men's national team for basically 30 years now. And while they do a very good job, it's just very kind of comfortable, and you know, you get used to it and maybe get bored with it after a while. Fox, we could go into a whole critique of their coverage. But this is why I think there's been such a great reception for CBS covering CONCACAF matches. I don't know that it's necessarily that CBS is spectacular. I think it's just that there's something different covering the men's national team. And people are buying into that, buying into the different formula for how they cover, the different kind of presentation style they give than ESPN and Fox. So I think that this very well could be something that improves the visibility of the national teams and also gets fans excited if they move to a different partner.
Yeah, CBS Sports, you have to think that in terms of what they've done with soccer in the last couple of years, we've never seen the level of coverage that the UEFA Champions League has gotten with any broadcaster now that CBS is doing it. I mean, a lot of the pre-games in terms of the talent that they're bringing in, just the commitment levels are off the charts. I mean, whether you like it or not, it is really, really a huge cast of people, a lot of talent, a lot of commitment, a long day of work, a lot of pre-match, post-match. Post-match is long. I mean, you go back a few years ago when Fox had the rights, sometimes a Champions League game would be over. It would be maybe like 5 minutes or 10 minutes of wrap-up, and then off you go to, I don't know, who knows, a talking head show or whatever it was. You look at Serie A, the commitment levels that they've made to that league in terms of creating a whole show around those broadcasts, those games. So pre-game, halftime, post-match, again, bringing in a lot of talent. And the CONCACAF, yeah, CONCACAF. CONCACAF has never looked so good. CONCACAF used to be a joke in many ways. I think CBS Sports has helped out CONCACAF major, big time, in raising the profile of that confederation. I mean, we know about the corruption. We know about, the verb CONCACAF, and kind of, and people would joke about it and laugh about it. But CONCACAF seems a lot more prestigious now that it's on CBS and in all the treatment that they've given it. Again, a 90-minute pre-game show for one of the U.S. World Cup qualifiers recently. Fox had no pre-game show for the game that they showed in the World Cup qualifiers. The Turner Sports side of things is interesting, Kartik, in terms of one of the contenders for the rights to these games. And that is, I mean, like you said, it could be possibly to acquire the rights to put those games on HBO Max. We know that NHL games, some of those games will be on HBO Max. Or it could be the new Warner Discovery Plus merger, and then putting some of those games on Discovery Plus next year once that is approved. Yeah, so it's interesting, right? I mean, and who knows? Maybe Fox still gets the rights. Maybe ESPN still gets the rights. They're not the favorites. And the reason why that Fox are not the favorites and ESPN's not the favorites is because a lot of these games are not going to be high-profile games. It's going to be, you're not going to have the World Cup qualifiers going into the 2026 World Cup. It's very likely that you won't, because the U.S. and Mexico and Canada, we believe, will be automatic hosts and won't have to qualify. So not a lot of sexy games to choose from to profile on television.
Yes, but you might get some higher profile friendlies out of the fact that the U.S. is going to have to play more friendlies, because currently the U.S.'s friendly roster is they'll make the occasional trip to Europe, and they've done their best with that. But I think that there might be a little more value in the package. I don't know that CONCACAF qualifying outside of the Mexico game is that much of a driver, to be honest. Not saying it isn't difficult. Obviously, the U.S. didn't qualify last time, and we've already seen them drop points to Canada at home in this octagonal. But I don't know that it's necessarily the sexiest thing for television outside the Mexico game. But we'll see. And then on the women's national team side, I think that there's more interest in that program than ever, and more of – I mean, we're recording this podcast on Thursday morning. more controversy around the program and their relationship with the Federation than ever. So I think that that's a driver also. And if you're Fox and ESPN, you have to think about the potential hit of losing the women's national team rights and what that might do to your overall brand. And I think particularly for ESPN, it might be difficult, because they put a lot into not only the women's national team broadcast, but into documentaries and other bumper programming, shoulder programming for ESPN Plus and for the ESPN linear channels on women's national team and on specific women's national team players that they have not done with the men. That is something they're going to have to think about.
So we're going to get to the Premier League news in a minute, but I do want to mention Major League Soccer too, because their rights are up for bid. So their rights will end with the 2022 season and will begin with the 2023 season, but they've already started negotiations. So earlier this summer, we had Fox, ESPN, and Univision as the current rights holder. Those three had a window of exclusivity where they could discuss and negotiate and talk to Major League Soccer about having an opportunity to renew those rights or to discuss what more they would like, or even those finer details. Now that that window has closed, now it's open. It's going to be open for others to start bidding on that. So we understand that the actual deadline is going to be coming up pretty soon, where all of the different parties who may be interested in bidding for these rights can do so. And the sky's the limit as far as the possibilities here, because there's a lot of streaming companies, tech companies, TV companies. They're extremely interested in Major League Soccer. They've got a lot of games, a lot of teams, a lot of content. So everyone from CBS Sports, HBO Max, Amazon Prime Video, Discovery Plus, Apple TV Plus, TuduNA, Fox Sports, ESPN, DAZN, and possibly maybe Fubo TV and others. There's a lot of tech and TV and media companies out there that would be interested. Now, I interviewed Seth Bacon from Major League Soccer. He's the Senior Vice President of Media at MLS and Soccer United Marketing. And I asked him, too, about like how Major League Soccer is positioned and whether he believes that they can capitalize on the growth of digital streaming. And he said, we've got the full interview at worldsoccertalk.com, but I'll just take out one of his quotes. And he says, "We've got the youngest fan base in North American sports. We have a very tech-savvy, digitally native fan base. and a very unduplicated fan base. You can't access our fans by getting other properties. We have a very unique set of fans who consume our products, whether on linear television or digital. When you look at the metrics that really matter, Gen Z, multicultural, tech-savvy, Major League Soccer has the best metrics across the board in all these areas. When you think about the way the world is shifting from a media standpoint and how consumption habits are going to change, our sport is perfectly positioned for the next evolution of how people consume live sports. So in this round of bidding for Major League Soccer rights, I think the streaming side to me is going to be the most interesting because there's so many different players that could be that will be interested in those rights. The television side, I'm not so sure. The television side, I don't see a lot of changes there. I think Fox still needs those rights for Major League Soccer. I think they are definitely... I think it's still want to be a kind of a long-term partner, especially going into the 2026 World Cup. They want to feature those Americans, and that American message is very important to Fox and how they broadcast, and you know, whether it's Fox News or Fox Sports. ESPN, who knows? CBS, I mean, and Tudoani, I'm sure, is interested. ESPN most likely is interested. CBS Sports, I'm sure. It's going to be really competitive. So the timing of this is really ideal for Major League Soccer. However, there's something big in the way, Kartik. And that thing is the Premier League. So the Premier League rights are up for bid. And a huge, huge announcement this week, kind of a revelation this week, is that the Premier League confirmed to Bloomberg News that the rights are going to be up for bid. Normally, in these circumstances, when you have a long-term relationship with somebody like Comcast, aka NBC Sports, is that you try to figure out a way to renew those rights and continue that relationship because it has been working so well for both NBC Sports and the Premier League. By the Premier League saying, okay, well, actually, we're going to put these up for bid and see what happens and see if CBS Sports or ESPN or whoever comes in for these rights, and let's see how much money we can get from this. That is a huge change, and it's something that now moves NBC Sports to not the number one top dog, but they're going to be battling, you mean, everyone. And that opens it up to enormous amounts of money in terms of how much more those rights are going to be, because you're in a competitive landscape with the different media companies bidding against each other. This changes everything, Kartik. This absolutely, you mean, definitely puts NBC Sports in a very, very difficult position, because they know that in order to continue this, they're going to have to pay up big time.
Yeah. And the big question, I think, for NBC is it worth it? As I've pointed out time and again, NBC has had at various times – now, they weren't owned by Comcast at the time. I should point that out, preface what I'm about to say by pointing that out. They were owned by General Electric. But at various times in their in NBC Universal's GE ownership, you saw a pullback from live sports programming and a focus on things that were tape sitcoms, entertainment, and even at one point the decision by NBC that it was cheaper to have Jay Leno on every night in primetime, that caused all kinds of problems for the network. Remember, then the cost of taping a sitcom and doing the things that you have to do to film a weekly series, it's much cheaper to just have a comedian on set and the Tonight Show in prime time. That blew up in their faces, as everyone knows, at the Conan and Brian thing, everything, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to get into it. But they have a history of doing this, of making a calculated decision that sports programming is too expensive and they're going to pull back. Whereas ABC, Fox, and CBS have no such history. They've just continued to bid up for sports programming, live sports programming, ABC now really being ESPN. So that makes me think that this is iffy, whether the $2 billion number, and I know we're going to get into this in listener mailbag a little bit, the $2 billion number we've heard is the number that the Premier League is going to be looking for if – and I have some concerns as to whether NBC is going to be willing to pay that. Real quickly on the Seth Bacon interview, I think he's right about the demographics of MLS. I also think MLS has been very smart in the markets they've entered recently. I would say St. Louis and Miami don't do much, but Austin, Nashville, and Charlotte, those three markets are emerging markets with younger demographics, more young professionals, more what we would call kind of hipsters, especially mm-hmm. Nashville and Austin. Charlotte has a very vibrant young professional set. A lot of people actually from Florida who are young professionals are gravitating to Charlotte and Raleigh-Durham. Those are two major destinations. I think MLS has done a great job in going into the markets they've gone into. I know the Crew thing was really horrible how it went down, but they kept their team when it was all said and done. And MLS smartly wanted to be in Austin, and Anthony Precourt smartly wanted to be in Austin. So I think they're very well positioned for this next TV deal, not only because of the shift to streaming, but because of their savvy in what markets they would expand to. No other major professional sports league in the United States has expanded to Austin. I think that's incredibly savvy. And putting a lot on Nashville and Charlotte, too, I think are very smart.
Yeah, there's definitely a relationship between these two different things. So there's a reason that we're talking about it at the same time, because the rights for the Premier League, whoever it goes to, it's probably going to have a domino effect. So, for example, if ESPN comes in and bids $2 billion for the rights to the Premier League for the next 6 years, that may change the way they think about Major League Soccer rights. They might say, okay, well, having spent, 1.5 or $1.4 billion on La Liga and now $2 billion plus on the Premier League, hypothetically, you mean, then are they like, okay, well, actually, maybe Major League Soccer, maybe we won't bid as much on that one. Maybe we'll kind of pull back a little bit and let somebody else go with that one. Vice versa for all of these broadcasters. The domino effect of the Premier League rights being up for bid first is going to factor with, you mean, for example, CBS Sports. If CBS Sports doesn't get the Premier League, does then CBS Sports double down on Major League Soccer and actually bid more and say, hey, we need MLS because we missed out on the Premier League. We got to get a big league. We've got Champions League, we've got Serie A, but we need to really be kind of the soccer network. It's fascinating times, Kartik, because like when you look at it, so NBC Sports needs the Premier League because of Peacock. Peacock without the Premier League is WWE and The Office, and even then, there's not much content on there. Other than that, really, they're trying, but it's nowhere near as good as HBO Max or Disney Plus or any of these other streaming services. Yeah. Netflix. So it's in a completely different category. So NBC needs it desperately. They've seen the success that they've had, but in order to keep it, they're going to have to pay more than double what they pay currently. And the $1 billion that they were paying currently over the 6 years, they were complaining about that. I mean, cause some of my sources were saying that they were saying that they had a difficult time trying to break even. So paying double that. But then you look at ESPN. Kartik, if ESPN got the Premier League, you mean, what would happen?
Oh, jeez. I don't even want to I shouldn't say I don't want to contemplate it, because I think it would be great for the Premier League to be back on ESPN. The Premier League has had previous stints on ESPN, as we know. They split the rights with Fox for a few years and from 2009 to 2013, and then had the rights exclusively until 1998, when it was a throwaway property. But they would occasionally show games on tape delay. I think it would increase the scope of the Premier League in this country beyond where it is in terms of the ESPN hype and marketing machine. However, I think at the same time, there's this issue of the Premier League being a property that's kind of lumped in with other soccer properties, with La Liga and the Bundesliga in particular, in terms of top European leagues. So the Premier League probably likes the way NBC presents the league as this kind of standalone major league, and everything else is less important. Everything else is, from an American mindset, a minor league, right? And the Premier League is the major league. And you constantly have commentary on NBC. Well, this guy played in Spain, but maybe he's not good enough to play in the Premier League. Well, that's ridiculous, in my opinion. We heard it again this week about Saúl, who had a bad match at Chelsea, opening match, but the analysis right away on NBC in the studio was, oh, well, he doesn't have, you know, this is a step up playing in the Premier League. So I think the Premier League likes the way NBC presents the league as the major league, the NFL, versus all of these other, you know, minor leagues, these lesser, which would be like spring football, right? In the American mindset. But I don't know that NBC is going to have the ability to keep it. So ESPN would be the best bet among other options because of the way they can hype the product. Although I have to say, the idea of potentially being on some place like Discovery Plus or HBO Max may mainstream the Premier League quicker among non-sports fans. Because what we see is a lot of fans of English football in this country don't watch other sports. So that, to me, is kind of an interesting potential. Maybe there's more uncertainty about that, but that could end up blowing up not blowing up in their faces, doing the opposite, being like this massive blow-up of popularity of the Premier League if it's on a streaming platform that appeals to kind of more upper-income, well-educated people, which is kind of – dialing back, Chris, in our many conversations with NBC through the years – part of the attraction of the Premier League for them, as well as the NHL, which they've now lost, which is now, as you mentioned, going to be partly on HBO Max, is the demographics of the Premier League fan, which skews towards kind of more upper-income, suburban, English-dominant in terms of their speaking, their language, than soccer fans in general. So that is something that might be very attractive for an HBO Max or Discovery Plus.
So I would argue, though, Kartik, that the NBC of today is different than the NBC of 2013 when they first got the rights. Within the next few months, it's kind of the secret that everybody knows, that, I mean, is that NBCSN is going to get shut down, and that most of the sports program is going to be moved to USA Network and Peacock. And yes, you'll still have games over the air on NBC. And we have to remember, too, and this is a story that we had the exclusive on and reported about 6 months ago, or maybe 9 months ago now, is that the NBC, the Premier League was completely blindsided. They had no idea that NBC was going to go ahead and shut down NBCSN. They had no idea, and they were furious about it. So there's been missteps along the way. We love NBC. We know a lot of the people that work there. We've interviewed them. We've gone on behind the scenes tours. We've met with them. We've spoken to them, or at least corresponded with them on a weekly basis for the last 8 years. So we know that they're talented and they've done a great job with the Premier League. But I would argue that this today, NBC is not the same from 2013, partly because the streaming issue with Peacock, it's cheap, it's good, but there's issues there, certainly, on the Spanish language side, which is a whole other conversation. But Telemundo is a good broadcaster, as is Universo. So they're strong, and they have access to NBC over the air, which is a big kind of opportunity to have games on big time NBC. But ESPN, though, Kartik, if ESPN got the rights to the Premier League, it's almost game over. You know that most of those games would be on ESPN Plus, probably all the games on ESPN Plus, just like with the Bundesliga deal, just like with the La Liga deal. Every single game available streaming exclusively on ESPN Plus. And that is a dream come true for a lot of soccer fans in this country, for what, $6.99 a month. And yes, some of those games would be on ABC. Some of those games might be on ESPN. Some of those games might be on ESPN2, but most of them would be on ESPN Plus. And it's game over. I say that because, Peacock at that point just cannot compete. And then you look at Paramount Plus, they have the Champions League, they have Serie A, etc. But really, then at that point, ESPN Plus would be, it's already a must-have, but it would be the go-to place to watch soccer. You'd have the Premier League, you'd have La Liga, you'd have the Bundesliga, you've got Major League Soccer games and a ton of other content on there from around the world. That would be the thing that would change everything. And ESPN has the money. You know, I mean, they paid $1.5 billion for La Liga. How much would they pay for the Premier League? Maybe $3 billion. You mean, to me, it's worth twice as much as La Liga.
Yeah, or at least twice as much in this country, and they would also secure the Spanish language rights, which would, as we talked about at the outset of the podcast, I'm watching more Brazilian football and Argentine football than I previously did. Because there's going to be more of a flow of those players to the Premier League, and I think that will increase interest in the Premier League among Spanish language fans, although the English side is really where the value is. But for the Premier League, can they afford to go from having 32 to 36 matches a year on over-the-air, free-to-air television, which is on NBC network television, to having maybe two matches a year on ABC? Four matches a year. Let's say NBC can't meet the $2 billion, but they can put they're willing to bid $1.5 billion. Do you just automatically take the higher bid from ESPN, or do you strategically think, you know what, we're alone among soccer leagues in the U.S. having so many matches on network television? We are in the same sort of windows that college football and the NBA and Major League Baseball are in terms of network television. You know, no one touches the NFL or golf. Those are the two that have so much network television penetration. But we're in the windows with all these American sporting properties, NASCAR also, in terms of the number of network windows we get over the air, free to air on NBC network television. Do we want to give that up to be a streaming property?
Yeah, but
for $500 million more?
Yeah, but
I don't know. That's the tough decision they're going to have to make. Maybe it's about the money, and then that's that. That NBC's not going to retain the rights. Well, but if they are actually looking at what is best for them, maybe they're best just sticking with NBC.
Well, there's two things here. One is you look back at the number of viewers that NBC has had over the air for the Premier League, and that number is pretty much plateaued, right? So you have, I don't know, if you had Liverpool against Manchester United at 12:30 Eastern time on NBC over the air, we know that that number of viewers for that game is probably anywhere from 1.1 million to about 1.4 million. And that number has stayed the same since the Fox days, when Fox had the rights and Fox showed games like that. So that number really hasn't changed. And even though ABC would show fewer games over the air, to me, the TV side of the medium, it's a dying medium. You've got streaming, which is growing rapidly. The number of people cutting the cords, I mean, it is massive numbers. And everything is moving towards streaming. This is a six-year deal. So 6 years from now, what are those over-the-air numbers on NBC going to look like? I mean, do they drop from the 1.4 million kind of high to, you know, 900,000, which we saw last weekend, I think, for the the Chelsea game was on, I think, against Villa. And that was about, I think, 909,000 viewers, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that. My argument is that I think, as we've seen with the Bundesliga and how well they've promoted that on ESPN Plus, is that's where everything is moving towards in terms of making it as easy to access ESPN Plus as it is to access ABC. And we don't get that with Peacock. Everyone doesn't have a Peacock, right? It's only a select number of people that have it. And even then, how many of them are actually interested in sports? I interviewed CBS last week, and I interviewed the chairman of CBS Sports, Sean McManus, and I asked him the question. The question was, on a rating of 0 to 10, how would you rate your interest level in acquiring the rights to the Premier League? And he laughed and said, good question, but I'm not much of a betting man. And then went on to talk about how much they value the rights to Serie A and to CONCACAF and all these different types of confederations and leagues that they have the rights to. But then he said, in regards to rights, we're open for business. We will look at any property that comes along. And he added, the Premier League is a great property. I admire what NBC has done with it in this country. They've built it up and promoted it and produced it in a first-class manner. And according to my sources, they are interested in getting the rights to the Premier League. They are in the process of discussing or have had discussions with the Premier League about acquiring the rights. Now, whether they get it or not, or whether it's a ESPN or NBC comes through and figures out a way to make this work. CBS, I mean, if CBS gets the rights to the Premier League, then it's almost game over then, too, because CBS would have the Champions League and the Premier League. And that's really kind of the two strongest properties when it comes to soccer, right? As far as the English language viewers go, you've got the two big ones right there. And that changes everything then. So everyone that doesn't have Paramount Plus will need to get Paramount Plus in order to have access to every single game of the Champions League and the Premier League. And it's game over there. There's so much the high stakes, Kartik, involved in this Premier League deal. It's massive.
So does that then mean that ESPN has to play defense and say, you know what, we don't want CBS gaining this on us and being the go-to place then for soccer? So what we're going to do is we're going to play defense and we're going to take the Premier League rights so CBS doesn't have them. Does that come into consideration?
I think so. To an extent, right? Because it is a battle. It is a soccer streaming wars between CBS, which is really Paramount Plus, ESPN Plus, and Peacock is a smaller player. I mean, they've only got the Premier League, they've got the WWE, but as far as the soccer side of things, they've really kind of not gone deep in terms of trying to grow that. But at the same time, yeah, so it is, I mean, this is a 6-year deal. So to gobble up the rights to the Premier League, whoever gets it, that is a huge statement of intent. And especially when it's the most popular soccer league among English language viewers in the United States, that's massive. And then at the same time, Kartik, you have to look at Amazon. You have to look at players like that. So whether it's Amazon or Discovery Plus, or HBO Max, or all these other media companies that know that if they acquire the rights to the Premier League and figure out a deal to acquire those rights, then that's the go-to place. I mean, we will no matter what streaming service it is, right, we will go to that streaming service. We will put down our money and say, okay, we want to subscribe to this service because we know that the games, we will go wherever the games go. And for a streaming company, or a broadcaster, TV broadcaster, whoever it may be, that is some powerful persuasion to get people to sign up for whatever your service or whatever your TV company is. And how competitive the rights are right now, I mean, this is the big daddy. This is the big daddy of soccer rights. And it's up for bid. And, you mean, normally, I mean, if you had to be a betting man maybe 12 months ago, you probably would have bet that the Premier League would have done a renewal deal with Comcast for another 6 years and just kept it going. But I just remembered, Kartik, what my second point was before about ESPN and just kind of all the factors involved in all of this is the European Super League. The European Super League. So you're going back to your initial question, which was a couple of questions ago, which was, do they go for the money or do they go for the actual distribution? And say 5 years ago, the Premier League would have said, OK, we want distribution. We want to be on over the air television. We want to be on streaming. We want to be on cable TV. We want to be everywhere. Today, because of the European Super League and the pressure put on the Premier League by the chairmen of Manchester United, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, Tottenham Hotspur, Manchester City, they are looking for as much money as possible. Grow that TV revenue sky high. We've lost a lot of money because of COVID. You need to show us how much TV revenue you can bring in, because we were so close to going with the European Super League and that massive amount of money that they're going to be pushing into this. And that's why I think in the past, the Premier League would have said distribution is number one, money's number two. Now it's flipped. Now I think it's money's number one, distribution is number two, and it's all about the money. So whoever puts in that massive bid, that number one bid, the most amount of money, and it could be anyone, Apple, Amazon, Comcast, ESPN, CBS, you name it, they will get that deal.
Yeah, so I think that the bottom line is that MLS, while there's a lot of interest in MLS, and I think the VP, Seth Bacon, is correct, we're going to have to see how this Premier League thing falls out before we really get a sense of how it goes with MLS. And maybe if CBS takes the Premier League, ESPN feels like, okay, now we need to double down, get retain MLS, and retain, as we talked about a little earlier, the U.S. Men's and Women's National Team rights. So maybe it impacts ESPN's thinking in terms of those properties as well.
Big time, big time. And that's what I was talking about, the domino effect before, is that whoever gets the rights to the Premier League, that is going to change their thinking about Major League Soccer. And it's going to change the thinking of whoever lost the rights to the Premier League. So who came in second place and came so close but didn't quite get it. And they may have to double down on Major League Soccer, and those rights fees might go up. And then whoever's left there, they might say, okay, well, U.S. men's national team and U.S. women's national team, even though there won't be any World Cup qualifiers for those for the men for 2026, very likely, we still need to be in that game. We need to double down on that and get in on that game, because we missed out on the Major League Soccer rights and we missed out on the Premier League rights. So the timing of this is, I mean, for the leagues itself is perfect. For us, the viewers and the soccer fans, it's popcorn time. Take out that popcorn and just watch along, because and of course we'll cover this every twist and turn, but this has huge ramifications on the future of watching soccer on television and streaming in this country, probably like nothing like ever before. Listener mailbag, Kartik, let's move on to that. So first up is Dave Roberts. The only way like holding a World Cup every 2 years is if they reduce the number of competing nations to 16, like it was in the 1930s. That way, only the very best of the very best would be competing. So, Kartik, while I agree with Dave, what do you think FIFA's answer would be to that question, to that recommendation?
Their recommendation would probably be to expand. If we say that's an issue, they would expand it to 64 or 80 teams, because then it would make qualifying less severe and reward all these nations. And in fact, you and I sat in a press conference, physically sat in a press conference, when Infantino said basically something along the lines of, we know from Asia, South Korea, Japan, and Iran, they always make it. So isn't this unfair that Saudi Arabia and Bahrain, and I can't remember other nations he named, I think Uzbekistan he named, never make the World Cup. So that's his thinking, is, okay, well, Asia is really unfair, because, yeah, it is always the same teams from Asia, right? Because mm-hmm. Japan, Iran, South Korea, and Australia, since they joined the confederations, basically those four, more often than not. So, yeah, so that's their answer. It's like, oh, let's have 80 teams. Let's have 96 teams. Let's reward everyone. Let's make sure we split the money equitably. And the thing to remember about FIFA, Dave, is that people who argue in the U.S. that the Electoral College is anti-democratic. The Electoral College is hyper-democratic compared to FIFA. FIFA, Germany and Montserrat have the same amount of weight, same amount of votes. Think about that. Spain and Papua New Guinea have the same amount of votes, right? The island nations in CONCACAF have more of an influence on proceedings than all of the major footballing nations in Western Europe combined. So just remember that. Yeah. So yeah, it's going to be, and it might end up being 80 teams. Who knows? 96 teams.
Yeah, I can see it happening. Adam says, could you please define over-the-air versus linear TV for all of us streaming Luddites? So over-the-air would be anything you can watch with what they used to call a rabbit ears, but is a like an antenna. So if you, no matter where you live in the United States, Even without an antenna, if you switch on a television set that's not plugged into cable or not plugged into streaming, you could actually flip through the different channels. And sometimes you can pick up a local channel. Now, the quality of that channel might not be the greatest, but if you did connect an antenna to that, you could pick up your local ABC, CBS, NBC, etc. So there is a lot of, in places where there isn't a lot of cable television or satellite television or poor broadband, that does get you to get into the homes of more people. But linear television would be, whether it's just traditional television, so whether it's cable television or satellite television, or so that's the difference there. When they talk about linear versus digital, digital would be the streaming side of things. Linear would be encompassing television, traditional television. Chris says, hi guys, when it comes to a Peacock Paramount Plus joint bid for the Premier League, which is what we talked about from Carl in last week's episode, I think it's certainly possible given the high cost of bidding on the rights individually. However, the main thing that could get in the way of this partnership is the ego of both companies. Comcast may not be willing to share rights of one of the major properties with another broadcaster, if it means they get less games, lower revenue, and lower ratings, and the same goes with Viacom. I really don't want the Premier League and fans of it to end up in a similar situation to what baseball faced in the 1990s, in which NBC and ABC had the rights in a package they called the Baseball Network, where games were scattered all over the place because both networks could not split the rights evenly. While we're on this topic, my question to either of you is, do you see the upcoming merger between Warner Media and Discovery and the potential bundling of Discovery Plus and HBO Max as a more stable option for the Premier League should they decide not to go with either NBC or CBS? So I guess part of that is that they have to wait for the merger to be approved, right, between Warner Media and Discovery, which I'm sure it will be. But then there are a lot of questions about Discovery Plus, whether it'll actually exist on its own, separate from HBO Max, or whether there would be a bundle where you could get both Discovery Plus and HBO Max together for, whether it's a lower price or easier way to access all of that content. But Kartik, do you think it might be a more stable option for the Premier League if they don't go with NBC or CBS?
Yes. I think HBO Max is, as I tried to at least articulate earlier, is a pretty decent option if you're not and may have this huge upside that we don't know for sure, but it could really blow up the importance of the Premier League in this in a good way in this country if you end up on HBO Max. Discovery Plus, I'm not sure about, but I think HBO Max would actually be a good place, a good destination for the Premier League. Now, the question is then, do you get any broadcast windows with that? Do they stick matches on TNT? Or TBS? We know that there's apprehension about soccer at Turner Sports after what happened with the Champions League and opting out of that early, and as well as a number of other properties that they had acquired, soccer properties that they've now given up on. This having been said, they still cover soccer in a bunch of other places outside the U.S. market. So I think it's a pretty decent option. It wouldn't be my first choice if I'm the Premier League, but I think it might be a safe landing spot. And it might be a case where you're hitching your wagon to something that's going to be very, very big going forward. Now, does it put you maybe at a short-term disadvantage versus La Liga and the Bundesliga and Serie A, given where they are network-wise, ESPN mm-hmm. for first two, and then Serie A obviously on CBS? Potentially, but long-term, it may be a better place. I still think the overall preference should be to stay on NBC, but I'm kind of hedging on whether NBC is going to come up with a bid monetarily along the lines of what ESPN, CBS, and maybe HBO Max or maybe AT&T, yeah, Time Warner are capable of. So that's why you have to look at these other options.
Well, the thing about Discovery Plus, and probably a lot of the listeners are going like, Discovery Plus, what the heck is that and why should I care? Well, if they did acquire the rights to the Premier League, I think everyone would care. We'd be forced to care because we'd be like, okay, all right, we're going to sign up for the service. It's going to give us access to all the games. Some of these games will probably be on television too. And Discovery is a massive company, right? Discovery owns in Europe Eurosport, which is a massive sports channel, and in the US has numerous channels that they own. So they're a big player in all of this, and that certainly could be something that could happen.
And I should mention that Discovery, the founding family of Discovery Networks, the Hendrix family, were really kind of the driving forces behind professionalizing the women's game in this country. In the U.S., they were huge in that. So they have, well, Discovery's not owned by them anymore, but it had the Discovery lineage has soccer DNA both in the U.S. and in Europe.
The thing about NBC Sports, though, is, or NBC in general, is it's a split personality. So you've got one side of the business that's the streaming digital Peacock side, and then you've got the other side, which is your traditional television networks, and. But they're at war against it either. Well, not war, but they're actually against each other. So Peacock would want to have more games, and I'm sure would want to allow viewers the opportunity to watch those games. You mean pick and choose as many games as you want to and watch all those games. But they're not. They have the split personality on the TV side. They're like, wait, no. We need to have some of the games on NBC, on NBCSN, and on USA Network because we need to keep our cable providers happy. All the different cable companies and satellite companies out there. So that in many ways holds them back because NBC or Comcast might say like, why are we spending all this money? Why are we going to spend $2 billion? On the Premier League and still have something where, yes, it's going to satisfy our TV audience and partially satisfy our streaming audience. But, some of the other competitors out there, I think, would say, okay, hey, CBS might say, okay, we'll pay $2 billion for it and we'll have every single game available on streaming and we'll have some of those games on television too. And that is, to me, a stronger argument. I think NBC being a split personality and kind of trying to figure out how to keep both sides of the fence happy might end up paying less than CBS, where CBS is very committed and very focused on their strategy. NBC's strategy seems to be a little bit kind of it changes. Sometimes some of the games more on Peacock, but then they pull back and put more games on TV. It's an inner struggle within NBC. And Comcast, really. Comcast, that's what they don't want people to cut their cords. They want people to stay on cable and have Peacock. And it's difficult to do both. All right. Amanda Flores says, regarding Fox's, the discussion about Fox last week, I enjoy the podcast as always. We know that the Fox studio is woeful. And also, a big issue for me is the play-by-play in both Fox and CBS. It's not good enough. So many mistakes from CBS play-by-play and too much talking from Fox. CBS studio show is getting much better. And that was something we forgot to mention, too, in last week's podcast, is that U.S. Honduras game. And while it was a good game, it was good broadcast, good pre-match, good post-match, good halftime, there was one major flub in that one, which we forgot to mention, and that was in the second half. If you were listening to the commentary, you would have thought that Josh Sargent was playing in the second half because Sargent's name was mentioned several times in the beginning of the second half broadcast, even though he was substituted at halftime. And sometimes it's difficult calling games off the monitor, but the expectation level is sky high in terms of quality, as Amanda alludes to. Mercator says, I have YouTube TV and I got the sports package. And it's not great at all. BN Sports Extra is free in many places, so that's meaningless. Other than that, all you get is the BN Sports English channel. I have not been able to get my YouTube TV credentials to work on BN Sports Connect. So it's really just BN Sports English channel, and that's it. I wouldn't pay for that, but it comes with NFL Red Zone, which I would pay for anyway. I would still recommend Fanatis if all you care about is BN Sports, at least for soccer. Fanatis has BN Sports Connect access and an Apple TV app. Fox is terrible, truly terrible. Can anyone confirm that they will not go for the Premier League rights? That would be an absolute disaster. I cannot believe they would have the World Cup rights. Apparently, Alexi Lalas, of all people, was invited to some FIFA Legends event in Qatar, where all they talked about was how great a two-year World Cup would be. So much wrong with the situation. World Cup 2022, presented by Fox and starring Alexi Lalas. Truly a dystopian situation for any fan. FIFA should fix that first before adding another World Cup. So Kartik, it's funny, right? Because we haven't mentioned Fox in this discussion about the Premier League rights. Conceivably, why not? I mean, they could come back. They've got the money. They've got Tubi. They want to turn Tubi into kind of a must-have streaming service, and they're starting to add sports to it. So why not the Premier League?
Oh, gosh. You know, I didn't think about that. Yeah, now Tubi is actually a great little service for free movies, etc. So I don't think Fox has the money. They've gone in, I think, on relatively low dollar commitments to sports in recent years. They gave up the USGA contract in the middle of it, and NBC took it from them, so they lost. They're out of golf completely, Fox. And the soccer properties they picked up have tended to be, I think, things that they've gotten for relatively little money. This having been said, picking up Copa America shows a level of commitment that we didn't think they had, even if it was a low-dollar property. I tend to think, though, if they were in to actually acquiring soccer properties still, they would have prevented CBS from getting into CONCACAF strategically. They would have taken, because they had a very strong established relationship with CONCACAF via Gold Cup, which they broadcast now for since 2007 or 2005, and CONCACAF Champions League, which has generally been on Fox. I mean, it rotated off at one point, but has been there in addition to some other CONCACAF events. So, I mean, I guess it's possible, but I don't put much into Fox for the Premier League.
Yeah, Fox is a weird bird. I mean, in many ways, they operate in their own circle, and which is outside of a lot of soccer circles, except for, of course, the World Cup and Women's World Cup and some of the big events. But if you're Fox, though, Kartik, and you're looking at the 2026 World Cup, I mean, you know that the 2022 World Cup is not going to be a massive revenue generator for them just because of the timing of it, being played between November and December, trying to compete against some of these other sports, and it's going to be difficult. I mean, they will broadcast it and they will do an okay job, but 2026 World Cup that they have the rights to, that is the big kahuna, and they will try to generate as much revenue from that as possible. So what would be the perfect lead-in for that? It would be the Premier League. I mean, if they get the MLS rights also, as far as the American angle, to play that up, but then if they got the Premier League and then use that as a vehicle to go ahead and try to promote anything and everything World Cup, it is the perfect lead-in in terms of all the stars that are playing in the World Cup. The vast majority of them are playing in the Premier League, for the most part. And that, for Fox, would be... That's a big-time investment. And yes, money-wise, it's a lot of money, but if they want to make the 2026 World Cup the biggest success that they've ever had, that would be the entryway to make that happen. That would be the kind of the door that they could go through to get the rights, be considered now again a major soccer player, and then lead that into the 2026 World Cup and then just go crazy. Dan N. says, whether it's NBC, CBS, NBC, or CBS, or somehow even ESPN, I would honestly be at peace with watching the Premier League on any of those, as long as it's not Fox. Watching the quality of coverage on Fox hurts these days, especially comparing it to CBS and Paramount Plus and even NBC. It pains me thinking that the next two World Cups will air on Fox, including when the US hosts it in 2026. If only CBS got into the soccer business a little sooner. Fetchin says, we talked about last week, joint bids, about I think, yeah, talking about whether ESPN would team up with, say, a Fox, or whether CBS would, any of those companies would team up together to try to split the rights. Fetchin says that a joint bid for the Premier League would not work, since it would be hard to find matches for the games. I know the Premier League, at least, and I know with the Premier League, everything at least would be in one place with NBC. Also, I think NBC should keep the rights, because ESPN Plus and Paramount Plus already have a soccer established service, and they need to grow the soccer leagues on what they already have. But I do think NBC should obtain more soccer leagues than just the Premier League, and get the also get the Championship, English Football League, and the Carabao Cup. Basically, the whole England soccer package, like how Paramount Plus has the whole Italian package, and ESPN Plus getting the whole Spanish and German soccer package. If they don't want them, if they don't want to, then the rights should go to someone else. But I don't see the Premier League leaving NBC anytime soon, because if NBC were to increase the bid to obtain the whole England package for maybe 6 to 7 years, then it's a win. Now, with Ronaldo is with Manchester United, yes, it's going to be interesting to see who gets the rights. NBC does not need to stream every single game on Peacock. Simulcast it with USA and NBCSN is one of the only problems I have. Carl says, wow, I didn't expect such a huge discussion for my question last week. Thank you. First off, Kartik, in reference to the Comcast-Hulu relationship, Comcast has an option to cash out their 33.3% stake by 2024. You will see almost all NBC Universal stuff transition off in the interim, because it's the pettiest relationship in media right now. Just some other general thoughts on Premier League rights and the streaming services. Disney ESPN is not going to partner with anyone for any European soccer property ever. They have the financial and brand muscle to take the full rights, and I'd be absolutely shocked if they have any interest in partnering with any of their smaller rivals. If ESPN is interested in the Premier League, they'll take the whole thing in English and Spanish in the US, and would almost certainly include a comprehensive package covering rights for Canada, renewing their major incumbent Premier League rights holding markets, India, Brazil, and Spanish South America, and potentially taking on the other Star Plus markets. Number two, the new Premier League deal is very likely to go for double what NBC has been paying for it. At this point, Comcast suits have to have a pretty good idea of what the Premier League can do for Peacock subscriptions, and I don't think they'll justify paying double for a very limited number of new subscribers. As a result, I don't think NBC will retain Premier League rights on their own. I'll gladly take all the name-calling when I'm proven wrong, though. Number three, as evidenced by the Viacom-CBS Sky partnership in Europe, Viacom-CBS is still primarily a cable channel company that just happens to have a major movie studio and absolutely prefers traditional cable to die slowly, not quickly, just like Comcast's preferences, who still largely need Americans and Europeans to pay for Xfinity and Sky respectively, while both companies try to figure out their streaming products. And then number four, I'm not saying I think Paramount Plus and Peacock are absolutely going to partner for Premier League rights, but I think between those two and whatever comes of HBO Max and Discovery Plus, there are marketing partnerships that could more effectively counter Disney than standalone services that don't require mergers and acquisitions. I do believe Paramount Plus and Peacock are the most logical partners for this at present. And then also more of a long-term thought, but I think you will see the investor focus on these companies shift from subscriber growth at any cost towards how's the profitability in the next year or so. Disney is expected to be profitable on each of Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus by about September 2023. And as it gets closer and more clear, I don't think Wall Street will be very kind to companies that haven't hit streaming break-even 4 years after launch. So again, some really good feedback there for Carl. And we know, I mean, just kind of end on this note, but we know that ESPN Plus has very aggressive subscriber growth numbers that they're going after. we know that Paramount Plus also has extremely aggressive subscriber growth numbers, that they're trying to get as many subscribers to that service also as are a lot of these other services too. But the Paramount Plus and the ESPN Plus, I think, have a lot more aggressive goals than, say, Peacock does. I think in many ways, not to say that NBC won't get the deal, but having it open for bid is open season, because now we'll see what CBS offers. We'll see what ESPN offers. We'll see what NBC offers. And then outside of that, Kartik, Amazon could come in and say, hey, this is peanuts to us, right? We'll bid $4 billion or $3.5 billion, whatever it may be. Apple might come in and say, like, that's peanuts to us too. We've got large sums of cash, billions of dollars of cash in the bank. But yeah, we'll go ahead and be all of a sudden a major sports player for streaming with our Apple TV Plus service. The possibilities, Kartik, are incredible to consider. Or it may stay with NBC Sports and they may renew it, and it's Peacock and USA Network and NBC for another 6 years.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, USA Network, again, we've touched on how many homes USA Network is in the last few episodes. What we have not touched on is that USA Network in 2019 and 2020 had the biggest decline, not in homes it was in, but in viewership, or one of the biggest declines among cable networks. Again, as just mentioned, Comcast is very focused still on cable. They may see the Premier League as a way to prop up USA, give USA some more live programming. They've been a well-rated channel, and movie reruns and TV show reruns have tended historically to get better ratings. This was, I think, the dilemma with Turner also showing the Champions League on TNT, have tended to get better ratings than soccer at times. But we're in a new paradigm, and they probably need the live programming. And the fact is, now that you have so many on-demand movies and television programs on streaming services, the historic business models of TNT, TBS, and USA, among other channels, are not that viable anymore. So that is a possibility. USA, I think if NBC renews the rights, it probably is because of USA.
Yeah, I mean, USA definitely, like you said, has a large number of subscribers. That's a very high-profile channel, even though, I mean, for me, the only time I watch USA Network is on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern for 2 hours. But for the large majority of mainstream America, that is a massive channel that's available, in most homes. And these things change so quickly. I mean, right now, I'd say the two hottest prospects to get the Premier League rights, outside of kind of something happening from Amazon or an Apple, would be between CBS Sports and ESPN. And I think NBC Sports definitely is going to put in an offer, and they will be interested, and they will say, hey, look at all this great stuff that we've done. Look at all this great stuff we will continue to do. I just, even though Comcast has a ton of money too, I just feel that that split between cable, trying to satisfy the cable audience, and also trying to satisfy the streaming audience, makes things a little bit more complicated for that company, while ESPN Plus and Paramount Plus have a lot more of a focus on what they're trying to do. And it's all about the streaming, and this is a big component of that. So I'd say those are the two hot favorites right now, CBS and ESPN Plus. What about you, Kartik? And this changes differently day to day, and also this now goes into a different category, because this goes into your CFOs, your accountants, you're dealing with billions of dollars, you have investors. This is kind of almost outside of the sports side of things, because it all depends on, them looking at the ROI and trying to figure out, okay, what is this going to generate for us? And when it gets to bidding, crazy things happen. But who would you say right now are your two kind of hot favorites?
Probably same, NBC to retain or ESPN to take it.
But no CBS. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'd say CBS is third. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So we know that next week in England, in a meeting between all of the Premier League clubs, they usually get together a few times through the years. through the year. They will have the chairman and chairwomen and chairpersons meet together, and they will discuss the U.S. media rights deal and discuss anything, any bids that they've received, as well as any kind of presentations, etc. And usually these things take a while. So even if with open bid, the opening round of bidding, it usually goes through a couple of different rounds. This will be fascinating to be a fly on the wall, Kartik, in those meetings. I'm sure we would probably laugh at some of the assumptions that are made, but it would be really, really revealing.
Yeah, and it's going to be very, very interesting because the Premier League, coming out of a pandemic and coming off a domestic rights cycle where, really, if not for Amazon, they wouldn't have Amazon taking one of the six packages. They would not have increased the value from the previous domestic package. Now, the international rights continue to double and triple exponentially over time. Yeah. They're a new chairman. This is the first time they have a new chair of the of the Premier League.
That's Richard not Masters. Scudamore
going to these, yeah. In Masters, right, and not Richard Scudamore going into this negotiation. It's going to be very, I think, pretty telling as to if there's a strategic shift or if it's going to be the same old, same old. I think certainly the league with the outflow, as we talked about, just from a football standpoint, of transfers from the continent onto into the Premier League, probably are feeling their oats, so to speak, old American expression about where they are relative to the rest of the football world. But critical negotiation still.
Yeah, the timing of the Ronaldo signing, I'm sure the Premier League executives were just jumping for joy, as well as the other Premier League clubs were probably saying, like, hey, this could be our ticket to even greater revenue and value of those rights. And remember, too, a lot of these clubs that are in the Premier League have American ownership or American executives. Bruce Buck at Chelsea. I mean, you go down the list, there's a lot of executives going to be in this room next week talking about the bidding for the U.S. media rights to the Premier League for a major deal coming up soon. So stay tuned to worldsoccertalk.com for sure. We will break any story as soon as we get the information. There's a lot going on here. So in closing, if you do have any feedback, questions, comments, we appreciate you sticking with us. Went through a lot of information in this podcast. We want you to have your say. You can always reach us via email through web@worldsoccertalk.com, as well as facebook.com/worldsoccertalk, and on Twitter @worldsoccertalk. Plus, of course, you can always post your comments on worldsoccertalk.com. Kartik, before we go, where can listeners find you on Twitter if they want to kind of read about what you're tweeting about in terms of whether it's German League, Premier League, you name it, or South American League, so elsewhere? We lost Kartik, but it is KKFLA 737.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Not bad. KKFLA 737.
There you go. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Kartik heading into a major week of soccer from around the world, as well as a major week for the soccer TV rights and streaming rights business. What are you going to do, and what should the listeners do?
Enjoy your football.